జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయచరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి, అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి, నామాచార్య శీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి, ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి, శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి, బృందావన్ ధామ్కి, మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి, మధురపురి ధామ్కి, జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి, ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి, గంగమాయికి, యమునమాయికి, తులసిదేవికి, భక్తిదేవికి, సామవేద భక్త వృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనందే. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్ల్ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమాం శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధిదాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రదిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసందదామి. భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషణీ నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే కుల్లారవిందాయకపత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతతైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న వారిజాదాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వత్స సుదీర్ఘోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదే వసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచయద్రతజల గాంధారనీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమహరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవై రణనదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోత్కటం నానాఖ్యానక కేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభూదిదం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహర పేబీయమానం ముద భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై స్తవైర్ వేదై సాంగపదే క్రమ ఉపనిషదేర్గాయందియం సామగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవిందనామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. When Krishna told Arjuna, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De, he said in the last chapter, isn't it? Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De, Karya Karya Vyavasthito. You have to know the right and the wrong thing based on Shastram, nothing else. Based on Shastram, you have to see things. Yatva Shastra Vidhanoktam Karma Kartum Iharkasi. And knowing the Shastram properly, karmam you should carry on. Karmam you should execute in this world. That's how Krishna completed the last chapter. And then when Krishna said this, Tasmal Shastram Pramanam De, Idi Bhagavad Vakya Labdha Prasna Bijaha Arjuna Vacha. Arjuna had this problem with that. Arjuna says, Ye Shastra Vidhi Mulsrajya, Yajande Shraddhaya Nida, తేషాం నిష్టా తు కా కృష్ణ సత్వమాహో రజస్తమ. ఈ సేస్ కృష్ణ సే అర్జున సేస్ టు కృష్ణ దాట్ ఇఫ్ వన్ గివ్స్ అప్ శాస్త్రం, దిస్ ఇస్ అనదర్ సెనారియో, వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ స్టడీ శాస్త్రం బట్ హీ ఫాలోస్ హీస్ ఆన్సెస్టర్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫ్యామిలీ ఇట్ హ్యాపన్స్ లైక్ దాట్ ఇస్ ఇట్ పేరెంట్స్ గ్రాండ్ పేరెంట్స్ వాట్ దే డిడ్ నాట్ నౌ. In the olden days, it used to be like that. what the parents did, the children will follow the same system, right? So, and whatever they have done, the children accept that that must be the right thing to do. So they follow them, the parents or grandparents at home. And if they do like that, what is their situation then? And are they doing that in sattvagunam or rajogunam or tamogunam? This was Arjuna's question here. This came from Shastram, because Krishna spoke about Shastram strongly. Arjuna had this doubt in his mind. Arjuna didn't think about Shastram so much before he heard Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, that what happens to someone who has just followed the ancestors, previous generations, and then continue with life in that? Are they doing it in the right way? Where is their, what's their situation? Are they in the sattvagunam or rajogunam or tamogunam? What is it? Yeah. So that's what he's saying. So yesterday what we were talking about is that the Yadu had told Yayadi that he will not get married, and he does not have any interest in exchanging his youth to Yayadi. So therefore Yadu is glorified like anything, seeing that determination inside. Because Yadu firmly believed, after all, they come in the lunar dynasty, Puryavas was their ancestor. And so solar dynasty is known for knowledge. Lunar dynasty is known for bhakti. This is the solar lunar dynasty is different, right? All the kings in the solar dynasty were knowledgeable, highly learned people, jnanis, they are, because it comes from the sun. Sun represents knowledge. Gayatri is addressed to sun, isn't it? Moon represents bhakti. So lunar dynasty, that's how these dynasties' names have come. And it began with Puruvas and then continued like that, and finally Yadu has come. Krishna says, he was my ancestor. Yadu was my ancestor. So Krishna brought this up to Uddhava when he started talking about it. And he said to him that, Kavim nirichadiranam Yadu papracha dharmavit. So many, avadudam chidam dvijam kaschil charandam agutobhayam. All these are adjectives to Dattatreya. What was his qualifications? He is avaduda, he is dvija, he is no fearless, he is agutobhayam. And then kavi, he is tarunam, he is young, yadu papracha dharmavit. Seeing a person like this in this condition, Yadu wanted to ask these questions to him. And he... So what you see there, what mentioned, Kavi means Krantadarshi. Krantadarshi means one who can, who have the power of imagination of about spiritual reality, able to talk about it, right? And what was interesting about him, he was very healthy, he was young, and he was in the middle of so many people, but still he was not affected by the environment of so many people around. He was not affected, right? So normally what you find, you will know when you are in the middle of others, that you will become as much busy as you are with the type of people you have. You will also become busy along with them, right? Because everybody has, everyone wants to do a lot of things in this world. And actually everybody is busy in this world, doing something or the other, isn't it? When he saw, Yadu saw, when Yadu saw Yadatataya, this Brahmana, that's how it is mentioned here, Brahmana, he says like that. When he sees this Brahmana, he thought that he is not in a rush for anything. He is not in a hurry for doing anything, right? And he is totally peaceful within himself. And seeing this nature of Dattatreya, total, contentment inside, peaceful inside, total shanti inside. And when he saw that, that is when he asked this question to him, that he is a king, lives in the palace, got everything, and lot of people come to see him, and in spite of all that, he is not happy in life. No shanti for him. Yeah, who? Yadu. Yadu feels he has no shanti, right? And everybody is busy, going here, going there. And you can look at that in the city life, what it's like, isn't it? You observe the people in the city. Village is not so much, but in the city, rushing here, rushing there, everywhere, right? And in the middle of all that, he sees one person who is totally peaceful with the whole thing, totally unaffected by anything, right? So that is why when Yadu saw the Tathaya, straight away he thought that this person that is a yogi. He has some yogi situation, right? Total satisfaction inside and total shanti inside. Seeing that, right? So seeing that thing, he says, "Who are you? I have not seen a person with a face like this, totally peaceful and shanti state, in the middle of all this rush, what is going on, right?" Young people, if you look, they will be healthy, but they won't have time. They are busy, right? That's a normal life, right? They'll be running around to make money, looking for opportunities to make money, right? And you are not doing anything, a young man, totally in shanti and situated like this, right? And what is the secret behind that? He asked him, right? So, behind this question, what he has asked, right? The answer to that is Dattatreya Gita, famous in the Ekadasi Skandam. Dattatreya Gita is the answer to this question, right? So you will see there in the verses, Brahmana Vacha, it says, verse 32 onwards, Sandhime Gurava Rajan, Bhava Buddhi Vashridaha, Yado Buddhi Mubhadaya, Mukta Sango, Mukta Adam Ihadat Shrunu. And then he told him, 24 spiritual masters, from whom what he has learned in spiritual life. Prithvi, Vayu, Akasham, Abhagni, Chandraman, Revi, Kapodam, Ajagara, Sindhu, Patanga, Madhural, Daja, Harina, Madhuha, Harina, Meena, Pingala, Kurera, Bhaga, Kumari, Sharaval, Sarpam, Urna, Nabhi, Subheshagrat. These 24 spiritual masters, I have learned a lot of things from them, he said. Right? So, this tripti or satisfaction, what Dattatreya Brahmana was feeling, Dattatreya was feeling, right? This is the essence of the Shastram, says Vidyaranya Swamiji, who has written Panchadashi. It is his commentary on that, right? In Panchadashi, he is asking this, what is the goal of spiritual life, or the purpose of the Shastram? What is the goal of that? This shanti, tripti inside, fulfillment, total contentment, satisfaction. No feel the need to run around in the world doing millions of things. To come out of that and be fully satisfied and able to station oneself within that situation, right? So that is what Vidyaranya Swamiji says. That one, if not able to do that, that means there is something missing there. When we are not complete in ourselves, that is when we are hunting for other things. I want this, I want that, I want that, so many different things, so that I can become satisfied. So, the symptom of satisfaction is this, that you don't want anything anymore, able to be stationed within oneself, right? So, because total fulfillment has come, shanti has come, he does not want anything, which means that his karmam has finished. Karmam has come to an end, right? And that is what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senati Gachari. You will see in the 18th chapter. Krishna is saying, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senati Gachari. When you come to that stage, that is when sannyasam begins. Proper sannyasam. Proper sannyasam is at that stage. Karmam is all finished in this world, right? So, what is the greatest siddhi? That he is not anymore wants to acquire anything in this world. That desire has gone. Because after seeing the world and the life in this world, you come to realize that there is nothing in this world. You're not going to take anything with you. And all what you need is very little to maintain your body here. Apart from that, what else is other things can help? That realization comes to him, right? So that is what that tripti he's talking about. So when shanti comes, tripti will also be there along with that. Or otherwise, if tripti, or tripti means this contentment, satisfaction comes, shanti will be there, right? Shanti means that feel peacefulness inside, right? and the mind feeling happy and peaceful about life, right? Yoga Vasishtam says like that. Anda Shitalaha, it says. Inside that feeling of Shitalaha means coolness, calm inside, feelness, right? This Amrutanubhavam, the experience of the self, or Amrutatvam as it is called, right? That means that Amruta Nadi, the Karna Nadi, which is connecting the ear and the heart, that's opened up. Yeah? And once that is open, then the Shanti will be there. Because now it is blocked up. So therefore, whatever we hear, it's not going inside. It goes in and goes through the other. Goes in and goes through the other. Right? It's not having its effect in the inside. Right? So, so the disciple prays to open that nadi. It is there in the third canto, isn't it? A karna nadim chinati. Vidura says to Maitreya about that, right? So, it's moon rays, when they comes like that, from the Sadguru or from the spiritual master, when that knowledge comes, that is that light that comes in, and what we call it as the kripa or mercy of the Guru. And that is a goal. But if that goal is not there, then the life has no meaning. Life has no meaning. So, you can see self-realization or knowledge of the self, or Krishna calls it as yogasthiti, state of yoga state. It's all referring to the same one thing, right? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said this, isn't it? You look at the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna says in the second chapter, the last verse. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. That Brahmi Siddhi, what he is talking about? Yeah, famous verse, that is. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, Nainam Prapa Vimukhyadi, Stitvasya Andakalevi, Brahma Nirvana Mrachyadi. That's that verse, isn't it? Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, Nainam Prapa Vimukhyadi, Sitvasya Andagalebi Brahma Nirvanam Rachadi. So the second chapter is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita. And then he said that at least before death you should get to this state, Brahmi Siddhi, right? So Krishna called that as Brahmi Siddhi. Krishna called that as Brahmi Siddhi, right? And Buddha said Nirvanam. Buddha's terminology is Nirvanam. Remember, the Buddha sannyasis, they always talk about Nirvanam. Right? So, Krishna said, Brahma Nirvana, in that verse. Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, Nainam Prapya Vimukhyadi, Stitvasya Andagalebi, Brahma Nirvana Marchadi. Buddha used the word Nirvana, Krishna used the word Brahma Nirvana. Brahma Nirvana, right? So, Buddha took away that word from that. From Brahma Nirvana, he took that word Brahma away. Kept only Nirvana. Nirvana means what? Nirvana means that all that is causing obstacles for your dishandi, that's gone away. That's what Nirvana means. If you study these two words, Brahma Nirvana and Nirvana, the difference is this, that Nirvana means all the obstacles what you have for that shandi, that's gone. That's all it means, right? So, shandi does not have to come from outside. Shanti is already there. It is the nature of the Antaryami inside. Therefore, that is the reason when that between one problem comes and then when that problem has gone, before the next problem comes, in between, there is a Shanti in our mind also. Is it not? So, in Laugika material life, you can see that. Normally, suppose you have solved some problem in your life, family life or whatever it is. Oh, that's over now. And then it takes a little while before the next problem comes. So in between these two problems, you remember it is in the seventh canto also, when Sri Narada Maharshi said that to Yudhishthira, same thing, right? So how do we understand that? Even in material life you can understand the shanti, what that means, right? This is the shanti of the materialists, samsaris. Materialists means samsaris. Their shanti is like that. One problem comes, solved. and then waiting for the next problem to come, and in between you feel some kind of peace inside, right? So, and now and then they will get a little bit of that, the shanti, material, family people and laukikam, in other words. So, that shanti, if we become conscious of that shanti, what we get it in that way, we have to learn how to enjoy that shanti, what we get in between, right? So, this is why, and our happiness is in that happiness what we get during that shanti. I'm talking about ordinary people. Don't worry about spiritual life and all that. Just average person, right? He gets some happiness during that, in that gap, or in that
interval.
Yeah, in that interval. So, that is a problem. That is why, in the Krishupadesham, if you look seriously, you will see the verse, En maithunadi grahamedi sukham hi tucham, kanduye yena karayo riva dukkha dukkham, trupyandi deha kramana bahudukkha bhaja, kanduji van manasajam vishaheda dhira. It's one of the 27 verses in the Rishabhavadesham, 5th canto, right? So, what he's saying is that, kanduna yeni rivo karayo jiva dukkha dukkham. That when you are scratching, you get some happiness, isn't it? Suppose the body scratches somewhere, you just scratch, you feel some relief from that. Say, for example, if you got some boil or anything like that in the body, and then it is healing, but then you'll feel some itchy feeling. And then you scratch. When you scratch, you get a relief, little bit, right? So, Krishnapadev is saying that all this happiness in this world is like that scratching, the happiness what you get from that at that time. And instead of that, continuous shanti is not there. Here and there you get a little bit, one thing or the other, shanti. So, the yogam is different because Bhagavad Gita's sandesham, Bhagavad Gita's message is like this. What is Bhagavad Gita's essence? What Krishna says to you, Arjuna, is that, say you have, he said, yoga. How many places in the Bhagavad Gita, if you study, read every day, you will notice again and again Krishna says to Arjuna, Tasmad yogi bhava Arjuna. Become a yogi, become a yogi, become a yogi. He keeps saying this to Arjuna, right? So, you studied Bhagavad Gita, and at the end you are saying, what should I do now? Krishna's answer is, Tasmad yogi bhava, right? So, after studying all that, Krishna is expecting us to be like a yogi, to become a yogi, right? So, sometimes people have this impression, yogi means immediately our mind will go into the yogi, what comes in the movie, with a big beard and with a matted hair and things like that, right? Or, and yeah, effulgence around him and things like that, right? So, the thing is that just because you have done a lot of pranayama and all that, you may not become a yogi, but then Bhagavad Gita, when he is talking about yoga, Krishna, if you look at this verse in the 8th chapter, verse 27, he says, Naidesradi partha janan yogi mukhyadi kaschana tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bharjuna. See that? Krishna is saying to Arjuna, under all circumstances, be a yogi. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bharjuna, he says. Tasmal sarveshu kaleshu yoga yukto bharjuna. It is like this, that life means what? What do we have in life? Only time, isn't it? We got a certain amount of time in life. That's all what we have got, really. Right? And is it possible to remain in that shanti state all the time? For example, due to prarabdham, it will bring a lot of problems. We have come here to go through that prarabdham. Every one of us are here in this world to go through our prarabdham. Yeah? So, prarabdham means there will be problems. In life, something happy situations will come and so many unhappy situations also will come. Both will come. It's not, you cannot choose one. It will be both. Happy things will come, unhappy things also will come, right? So, Arjuna said that if all the problems are solved, then I can be peaceful. Krishna says to Tasmal Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhava Arjuna. Krishna said to Arjuna, problems won't be come to an end. It will not come to an end. In life, problems will never come to an end. Right? Just like there is a saying that, I will bathe in the sea when the waves stop. But the waves will never stop. So you will not be able to bathe in the sea, if that's the saying. So generally people will say, it's too much waves now. If I get pushed into the river, into the sea now, I won't be able to bathe because I'll be dragged around into the sea. So people, when they go to bathe in the sea, they will look at the sea and say like this, if the waves stop, then I can bathe. But there's too much waves now, they say like that, right? It is something like that. In the villages, they will say, after I have finished up all my work, then I will go to Kashi, they will say, which will never happen. Because the housework never gets finished, and you will never go to Kashi at the end. It is the old traditions like that, right? So similarly, if you think that after you have solved all your problems in life, and then you will remain in peaceful state, that is not going to happen. That will not happen. That I have solved all my problems in life, everything is now under control, as they say, and now I'm going to remain peaceful. In that way, you cannot organize it from your side. It is not possible, right? So, therefore, Krishna said, for proper shanti, there's only one solution. What is that? Siddha prajnato. Siddha prajnatam is the answer for being shanti. To get that siddha prajnatam, you remember? Steady intelligence inside. That siddha prajnatam, right? Yasmin sthiro, in the sixth chapter, Krishna will mention this. If you look at the sixth chapter, where he says there that the yam labdhva chabaram lapam, 22nd verse. Bhagavad Gita, if you want to know certain things, when one place what Krishna has spoken, its explanation will be somewhere else in the same thing. Like here, for when he's talking about shanti, he's saying here, yam labdhva chabaram lapam, manyade nathigam tatha, yasmin sthidona dukhena guru napi vijayalyade. 22nd, 6th chapter, right? So, a lot of big problems can come in life, in different ways. Sufferings can come in life, right? Problems can come. But whatever comes, problem comes, distress comes in life, you have to find a place somewhere where you find that, where you cannot be affected by anything. Where you won't be affected by anything, right? And that is what Krishna is also talking about in the 18th chapter when he said, sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada malprasadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. So we have to find a place somewhere inside where you are not affected by that. That is what is essential for everyone, right? So that sthanam, what Krishna is talking about, is where Antaryami is. Basically, he's talking about Antaryami. Because the verse before that, he has said that. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hridayesha arjuna drishtati. That Ishvara, who is present inside in the heart of everyone, that is the sthanam for... You have to find that place and stay there, rather than getting affected by everything else in this world. Right, so he told about that, and if you are able to get there and stay there, you become a yogi then. That's what Krishna is talking about. Yeah, you become a yogi at that time. So, normally, we are in the body, isn't it? We are always in the body. Especially when you get older, you're always in the body. Every time you're solving one problem or the other related to the body, which hospital I should go, which medicine should I get, how should I control my diet, toilet problems, sleeping problems, everything comes together at the old age. And so therefore, all the time you are in the body basically, solving the body problems. So, and one after the other, like waves it comes, one after the other, right? Body is concerned, you get all types of diseases, and then problems with the body, it's not listening, aching here, aching there, all sorts of things, right? And then other distress also, when things are not working out, when you cannot go to toilet, it's a problem, causes anxiety, and this way, right? So, body is what is called as annamayam, isn't it? Body is annamayam. Taittiriya Upanishad says, annamayam altmanam upasangramya, he says, transcend body first. First, to transcend the body. That's the first thing. Taittiriya Upanishad says that. You remember, Varuna goes to Bhrigu, Bhrigu goes to Varuna, and discuss these things, and at that time, he was told that Varuna sends him back. Taittiriya Upanishad, if you read, you will see. You can buy Taittiriya Upanishad, you can download it from the web also. You will see there, Bhrigu goes to Varuna, and Varuna is continuously instructing him. Varuna sends him first to forest back, think about it. And then he comes back, and then he tells him, you have to transcend the body. I am not this body, right? And when one gets this message first time in life, right, which is a real big breakthrough for someone who is completely in the bodily platform. This first information that I am not this body, I have to transcend the body, when that message when we get first time, it's a big breakthrough, right? So, in spiritual life, in Vedantam also, the first thing they will teach you is that you are not this body. You have to move out of the body. I am not this body, right? And that's what Krishna has spoken also in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And beyond this body, you have another identity, Swarupam, is there, right? If you are this body, then everything is finished with the death of the body. There is nothing after that, right? No matter how great you are in this world, he will also die at the end, right? And at the end, everybody turns into ashes, becomes ashes. This is why when you go to Shiva temples, they give you the prasadam is ashes. Why is that? To remind us that this is what you are going to be at the end. That's why these ashes are given. In Shiva temples, like sandalwood and pulp and other flowers given in the Vishnu temples, in Shiva temples they will give you ashes as prasadam. And you put the ashes on your body. To remind us, Lord Shiva is reminding us, your end will be like this. This ashes will be what you will be at the end, right? So that is the situation with the body, right? And there is no permanent existence in the body. That is out of question, right? And if you transcend that body, if you go a little bit inwards further, and there is the energy inside called prana, that is the next level, called pranan. Pranan's phase, the field of pranan, right? And say, suppose you have gone and attended some few yoga classes in the village hall. If you come, you can attend yoga classes here. And if you attend, and they'll teach you about a little bit of pranayama and all that, and all these yoga mats, you'll become a yogi for a short period of time. You'll be yogi here, in this village hall itself, right? So, so afterwards, what happens, and then yoga teacher will tell you how to control your diet and things like that, yeah? And so, this is famous program, Vipassana program. For 10 days you don't speak anything, totally like this, tight-lipped, you have to live, right? That's also a good yoga training. This is all part of that yoga processes, right? And some people, one time what happens is, after this 10 days tight-lipped yoga state, they'll become a guru after that. Some of them will become a guru, not all, some people will become a guru also, right? Similarly, some people do some courses, and after that they become a guru. They'll go and teach everybody else in this world. So, so little bit, what that means is, a little bit that person has gone inwards, beyond the body, and therefore he started touching the prana inside, right? And that is when you touch that energy, flame of energy called a prana, right? And then what happens is, when he starts making his disciples, who starts making his disciples, after some time he realizes that this experience he had of this pranan inside, it's not staying permanently. It is only there for 10 days, he had this vipassana and all that, and then for a short period of time he felt good, but after that it goes away again, right? So then by then the disciples have started offering obeisances to him and things like that. But pranan is not listening. Pranan is not listening, right? It will give you some shanti inside, happiness inside, right? And that happiness, what you're feeling at that time, is coming from the pranan, from the pranan. What we call it as the enlightenment stage, right? So this pranan's level, pranan's state, is also intuition it is. Intuition plane it is. Intuition it is, right? And that is why, that is the reason why Krishna mentioned that that place where you are getting established should be Shashwatam. Sthanam prapsyasi Shashwatam. It should be permanent. If you are going and coming back, then it is useless. It's not worthwhile, isn't it? So, therefore, he says, you have to go beyond than that, pranam, and then his next phase is the mind, or you can also say the intelligence level, right? For example, you heard Vedantam, and through buddhi you have accepted a lot of it, Vedantam, right? And then you've gone home, reflected on that a lot, and there also you will feel a certain happiness from that. Hearing Vedantam is like that. Vedantam is very organized way. It will explain to you that no matter who says what, at the end of the day, Upanishads are all Vedantam. It is pure Vedantam it is, yeah? So when Vedantam comes in, Vedantic knowledge in other words, there will be some happiness inside. And that is that level called Vijnanam. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam. Vijnanamayam stage is like that. that Vijnanam or knowledge, even the Devas also, Devadas also, they perform the Upasana. There what it is you are changing karmam into yogam. Yeah, in that knowledge. That's what happening there. Karmam, you are able to transform the karmam into yogam. Transferring karmam to yogam, right? And in the light of knowledge, in the field of knowledge, right? And after you, that is that karma yogam and all that is a part of that. How to transform karmam to knowledge? Karmam to knowledge. So that stage is that. Vijnanamayam stage, right? Then, when you go beyond than that, is Anandam, the final thing, Anandam. And that is what referring to Shanti. So, Anandam is called by Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, and Vedantam, they call it a Shanti. That's all. The effect is the same. That stage of Anandam is what the state is Shanti, what Krishna is calling here. Sthanam, Param Shandim, Sthanam Prapsisi Shashwatam. In Ekadasha Skandam also, it says that, isn't it? Tata Param Shandim Upeti Sakshat. Shandi. That Kavi Maharshi's prayer, the Navayogi Samadham, it says like that, right? So, which means that you are getting established in the self. That's all it means. You are getting established in the self. Not that you are working and getting it, right? All Upanishad says is, it is not created through sadhana, not created through sadhana by me, but it's already there. Shanti is already, Shanti is the nature of the Antaryami. It's already there. Only thing is, I have got in touch with it, that state of Shanti, what is present in the Antaryami, right? I have recognized, so basically, more than realizing it is recognizing it. Recognition is there, what's happening, right? So, that recognition, what you gave at that time, is what in Shastram they call it as Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that recognizing that Antaryami, becoming touch with Antaryami, and recognizing your actual state of Shanti through the Antaryami, right? With that Pratyabhijna happens, it's over. You are settled there, right? And, so, moment the Pratyabhijna happens, that pratishthito bhavati, that the jivan mukta stage is that. You are in that state of realization. It is a very higher state, no doubt about that. And that is what Krishna is referring to as yogi. Tasmad yogi bhavarjuna means that get into touch with that Antaryami and be settled there in that situation, right? So all this is coming from the satsangam only. You hear these things and then gradually, little by little, one has to practice this and shanti has to acquired by one's own upasana or sadhana process, right? Now, when we are doing all these things, prarabdham will come. That is always there. At home, there will be prarabdham, right? So, what happens is, when they come and tell them their problems, what you do, you tell them about somebody else who has got much more prarabdham than them. And then these people will be happy and they will go home. This is the Vedantam, that's how they do it. Suppose prarabdham, you can't do anything with it. It will come its own way. You have to look at your spiritual interest and go along with it, ahead of that, along with that. So when lot of prarabdham comes, you will feel sometimes, nothing I can do about it. All around these problems, and I'm not able to get through this. So sometimes they will say to the Guru that I've got all these problems at home, what shall I do? So what Guru does is that he will tell him about somebody else who has got much more prarabdham than you, and then he will go home. Oh, that's not too bad. It's like that. Our mind is like that. The nature of the mind, right? So, so the problem is that when he goes home, he feels some relief after hearing that, right? And problem is like this, that when we talk about prarabdham, we will think that only I have got all this prarabdham, others don't have it. Normally mind is like that. Mind start making you think that you got all the problems. Only I have problems. Everybody else is happy in this world. Only you have to dig a little bit deeper. And then you will know that everyone is suffering in this world. Only thing, some people won't accept it, but some people have the mind to accept that there is suffering in this world. Problem, one thing or the other, right? So, everybody in this world has got misery, problems in this world, right? And that is why they say that some people who don't have enough to live in this world and barely managing it, daily life, barely managing it. If you look at people who are in the working daily wages and all that, how much anxiety they should have. They don't know next day whether there will be work, there will be money for living in this world. But still they carry on. That anxiety will be there in them. So they have their prarabdham. Then some other people, they have got enough to get through in this world. Comfortable, as they say. Just comfortable. Not a lot of wealth, but just comfortable. And they also got prarabdham. And then you look at very rich people. Yeah, lot of money in the bank, lot of assets, this, that and the other. They have also got prarabdham. Nobody is free from that. All these three types of people. One who is barely struggling to make both ends meet. And the one who has been comfortable. And the one who has got a lot of wealth. If you look at all three different types of people, all of them have got enough prarabdham to go through in this life. Only thing is, the nature of prarabdham will be different. Suffering will be there. You think all rich people are happy in this world? You don't think so. Their problems are different. I can give many examples. If you are reading the newspaper, you will notice this. How much problems they have got, right? Like Prince Charles' brother. He's going through such hard time. What's the point in taking birth in a rich family? Everything is scrutinized. He's having problems with Epstein files. He has problems at home. He has problems with all sorts of things. And you look at his face when you see in the photograph, so stressed out. He's so coming from a very rich family, lot of wealth, but no shanti inside. So that is how prarabdham is. Prarabdham comes to people in different levels. A poor man's prarabdham is different. A rich man's prarabdham is different, but prarabdham is there. You cannot say that it is not there. It is there, right? So, knowing all these things is what You can look at Krishna's life. Krishna is the best the example in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Krishna, when he was born, the day he was born, until the day he left this world, you study Krishna Avataram, you will see full of problems, beginning to end. Coming to this world itself created problem for Vasudeva and Devaki, right? And what was Krishna's situation then, when all these things happened? Melpathur said, Ananda Rupam Bhagavan Maide Avatare. He said, Maide Avatare, that Ananda Rupam, in spite of all these problems, always blissful. Krishna was always blissful, right? And that is Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. There is no necessity to study even Bhagavad Gita. If you study Krishna's pastimes, Srimad Bhagavatam, and hear about Krishna, that is sufficient. Because that is Bhagavad Gita actually. Krishna's life is actually Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's life is Bhagavad Gita. That means in spite of all the problems, from beginning to end there were problems, Krishna maintained that anandam, always anandam. Remember this? Bhishma said this, isn't it? Three occasions he said, I have never seen this before, he said. Bhishma told him, in the middle of the Rasa dance, in the Rajasuyam and in the Mahabharatam. In all the three, in the warlike situation in Mahabharatam and in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, when all the other things happened, and also in the Rasa dance, Krishna is saying, able to maintain that state all the time. Yeah. So, then when Krishna comes, sixth day problems started, serious problems. Pudana comes first. And then Trinavarta, then all one after the other, constant visitors. All Krishna's visitors, if you look, when he was in Gokulam, were all Rakshasas and Asuras who have come to see him. A baby is born, you normally relations and friends come. In Krishna's case, all the visitors were all these Rakshasas and the Asuras who had come, right? And every day, new Asuras comes. There's an endless list there, isn't it? Shakadasura, Putana, Trinavarta, and Bhaga, Valsasura, Aghasura. Like that, a list of them. Keshi, later on, at the very end, it's coming to Keshi, before he leaves Vrindavan, right? Denugasura, all these things. So, and he had to get through all of them, one after the other. And then in the middle, Kaliya also. And in the middle of all that, happiness. Krishna is sad, peaceful about it, everything. So, after all this was over, then he went to Mathura, and then Kamsa was killed. And afterwards, Kamsa was killed, and then Ugrasena was installed on the throne. And at least you would have thought he has become the king there now. Could he not have stayed peacefully there? No. Then he got addicted to problems. Krishna got addicted to problems. So what he started looking for problems. Where else is there problems? And he expanded his journey further, right? So when all the problems were solved in Vrindavanam and Mathura, then you would have thought that he would have settled down there as a king. But then he started looking for, where else is the problem there? So he started looking for problems then, right? So if you have a courage like that, what Krishna had, then there is no fear at all. Krishna has no fear at any time. And like we have, when distress comes, we feel like this, depressed about that, right? And seeing this depressed state in life, what happens through prarabdham, and seeing our struggle when the suffering comes, rishis have explored the spiritual life in the background of this. They saw that life is like that. Constantly problems coming, people trying to deal with the problems and suffering from that. It is in the middle of all that, the rishis explored that to find out a solution, and that is what they call it, a spiritual life. Right? Spiritual life. Otherwise, all this has no meaning. Do you know what I'm saying? What it is that if you are not suffering in this world, you won't be looking for spiritual life. Is it not? If you are suffering in this world, only then proper spiritual life will be there in such people. Otherwise, what will happen is the whole thing will become like an entertainment, like it's happening now. Many, many people, it's like an art or an entertainment. Spiritual life will go in that level. So suffering is required in life to make us think and make us to question this. Is there a solution to the problem? Only when such things happen, spiritual life will make some sense to people. Otherwise it won't. It's all right getting thousands of people and giving a class and lecture to them, and everybody feel praising you. Oh, you have spoken very well and this and that. That is not the answer to the problem. Problem is little more deeper than that. So that is why spiritual life becomes only meaningful when you experience the sufferings of this world, miseries of this world, and the rishis have connected these two things together. Sufferings of this world and make some sense out of spiritual path, spiritual life, right? So, normally what happens is, when people are not serious about all these things, spiritual life will turn into music, dance, jamming, and bhajan clubbing. This is all the transformation of the spiritual life, right? And all these things, what you are doing in the name of spiritual life, it becomes like that. Those people, you observe them, they are not coming for bhajan clubbing or for musical concerts or for dance. They want to have a good time, basically. They want to have a good time. So in other words, what it means is that it has turned in the form of an entertainment. More than, there is no spiritual understanding behind it. Spiritual life has to be related with the sufferings of this world. Krishna also said that, isn't it? Janma mrutya jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. That dukkha doshanu darshanam is necessary. If dukkha doshanu darshanam is not there, then all these shastram won't make any sense at all. It will turn into an art or an entertainment. That is the problem, right? So, look at Vedanta jnanam is like that. Look at Buddha himself, for example, right? He saw suffering everywhere, all over the world, and he realized, he had that intelligence to think like that, this is all useless at the end, yeah? And what is the point of being a king if this is all what's going to happen, right? And the moment you close your eyes, you are stuck in this material existence, right? And even if you want to get out of it, it is not possible. Therefore, before I get trapped in this material life, he said, I'll have to get out of this. Buddha decided that. Buddha's that early realization, when he came out, Suddhodana, his father, and he wanted to bring Buddha as the next king, prince, isn't it? So he wanted to take over. So Buddha is asking these questions to the father. They tried very hard to change his way of thinking, but Buddha was very stubborn on that. He says, where is the happiness? Where is the happiness in this, right? And he even, that is the reason why he gave his son the name Rahul. He gave his son the name Rahul, right? Rahu is that planet which captures you, right? And he wants to get out of that. You want to become free. And that freedom is not possible outside, right? So, some people, what they do, that they offer different, they take different types of penances when they suffer in life, right? You will see people doing, you should not misunderstand things. Like, sometimes you go to, say, Vrindavan, and Govardhana Parikrama people are doing, right? Some people are offering this Shaina Pradakshana, that means they're rolling over. And or they offer Dandavat Pranam, like that, one after the other. It's not that they have all the highest realizations about spiritual life or anything. What it is in suffering in life have made them strong that way, that they have to take shelter. So it is that suffering inside, mostly, in all this, most of the people's case, that is forcing them to perform penances like that. Because of the suffering in life. People suffer in life, and that's a fact, especially in many people's case, isn't it? So, so all that is, at that time, that's all tapas. It is all
tapasya.
And in that process, what happens is sometimes you may get some siddhis from that. Krishna will talk about that. He says, you will see that even in the middle of all the prarabdham, able to stay there, and gradually, you will see that in the second chapter, Krishna is talking about it. He said that Neha Abhikram, 40th verse, second chapter. Neha Abhikrama Nashosti Pratyavayona Vidyade Sulpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayade Mahadobhayad. Famous verse. They're all famous verses. Neha Abhikrama Nashosti Pratyavayona Vidyade Sulpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayade Mahadobhayad. He said. So, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, that this dharma, what I am going to talk to you about that, at least practice it to some extent, right? On the one side, the way Krishna used that words, if you look, sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayat. A little bit of dharma, if you practice this dharma, Bhagavata dharma or Bhagavad Gita dharma, if you practice that, you can escape from the greatest fear. On the one side, it is the smallest effort, but on the other side, is the greatest success, fear, right? So, he is saying that even if you follow it a little bit, you will escape from a greatest fear of death. Sulpa means what? Sulpa means that you have taken some interest in Bhagavad Gita to hear, first of all. To take some interest in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, there is problem in everywhere, right? So, once a person from America came to see Ramana Maharshi, right? And he came and started telling him everything, the problems, right? So, he was an old man who came from America, an older person, right? And he said, it's very difficult. He said, what you are saying to us, to turn your attention inwards and all to an American when you see it is a bit too much for him. He's not used to hearing inside. He never thought there is something inside, first of all. And when Maharshi told him that you have to turn inside, he was thinking that what am I supposed to do? I don't know how to turn inside, inward looking and all. So Maharshi told him like that you are looking in the world all the time. Stop that, he said. At least think there is something happening inside, right? And Krishna is present in everyone. He was explaining to him that Antaryami is present in everyone. That's what the Upanishads also says, Shrotrasya Shrotram, right? And if you are thinking, Maharshi told him like this, that body is not working because of your food and medicines, he said, that there's Antaryami inside who is keep this thing going all the time, right? Behind your thoughts, Antaryami is there. Behind your words, Antaryami is there. Right? All senses are working because Antaryami is behind. When you are breathing, Antaryami is behind that. In your energy, pranam, Antaryami is behind that. Right? And so, this recognition you should start first. That Antaryami from inside is controlling everything. Because you see, nobody told us these things. We studied all the rubbish things in the school. If they had taught us these things in the school itself, how beneficial it will be. A life could be a lot more peaceful. Only when we get into trouble, we start looking at all these things. So, that's what has happened, right? So, he said to him, if your drishti, if your vision goes inwards, and sarubam in your identity, right, then what will happen is that if you come into touch with that Antaryami inside, then amrdo bhavadi, you become immortal, he said. So, drishyama, that is what he says. Amrdoma, Mrityoma, Amrdam Gamaya. Upanishad, Kathopanishad, Mrityoma, Amrdam Gamaya, right? From Mrityu, from death, we become immortal. Amrdatvam comes to you, right? From Tamasoma, Jyotir Gamaya. Mrityoma, Amrdam Gamaya, right? From darkness comes to the light, right? Asadoma, Sad Gamaya. From Asata, come to Sat. Kathopanishad verse it is. Asadoma sadgamaya, tamasoma jyotirgamaya, mrityoma amrdamgamaya. These things, right? So, so where is this journey? What Vivekananda has quoted this verse in his lectures many times, right? The journey is from me to me. Me as Ahankaram, from that to me as Antaryami. That is that journey is talking about. Kathopanishad is talking about. These three statements. Tamasoma Jyotirgamaya, Mrityoma Amritamgamaya, Asadoma Sadgamaya. What does that mean? It means your journey from Ahankaram as Jiva to Antaryami as the real self. That journey is what he's talking about. From me to me, in other words, right? And that is what this looking inwards, right? That's all. And a little bit attention if you give there, you start realizing that this Shanti, what you are experiencing at that time, that Satta, he starts realizing inside. And that is why Krishna said in that sixth chapter, Shanai Shanai Uparamet. Gradually you have to do that. Shanai Shanai Uparamet Buddhya Dhritigrihidaya Atma Samstam Manakritva Na Kinchit Abhichindayet. Famous verses they are. Yeah? Shanai Shanai Uparamet Buddhya Dhritigrihidaya Atma Samstam Manakritva Na Kinchit Abhichindayet. After that, nothing to think about anything, he said. So, if you understand that verse, that is in the sixth chapter, 25th verse. Shanai shanai ruparamet, uparamam. Uparamam means pulling out from the world. Buddhya dhriti grihidaya. Buddhi has turned towards the dhriti, right? And grihidaya, atma samstam manakritva. Mind has gone and taken its position in the Atma, Antaryami. Atma samstam manakritva na kinchit api chindayet. There won't be any more thoughts coming in after that. Once the mind is gone and dissolved in the Antaryami, no more thoughts will come. Thoughts will stop there at that moment, right? So, if you have reached that state, that yoga shabdam, that yoga state, nirvanam, what Krishna has spoken, Brahma nirvanam, then nirvanam has happened, shanai shanai, but it has to be done gradually, gently, and you have to get to that state eventually at the end. Yeah. So, when the senses are open into the world, it sees a lot of things, and though what you are saying here now, you are ignoring all that when you are going inwards, right? And it is confidential inside. Aham Sachid Amritam. And it is for this purpose to turn our attention inwards. It is for that purpose we hear Vedanta. Vedanta Shravanam is to get our attention inwards rather than outward, rather than the outward. That means, beyond this body and the mind, separately from all this, there is something inside us which does not change at all, remains always the same. Antaryami. Antaryami, right? So, that getting to know him, it's called a sutram also, another word for that. Get to know that sutram, it is for that purpose, this Yajna Sutram, Brahma Sutram, Upanayanam, Samskaram, all is for that purpose. It's all to start this inward journey. Upanayanam, for example, given the thread. It's all for this purpose, to get to go inwards. So, what he does is he goes to the Guru and sitting next to him, the Guru tells him to close the eyes, Andarmukhatvam to come, and then gradually he is supposed to realize this sutram inside, this sutram. Sutralma is inside, Pran, Antaryami, right? So, what is his speciality, this Antaryami? Antaryami is like this. He is not affected by Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. He is a witness in all three states. We are, Jiva is affected, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti affects us when we are in the Jiva level. In Jagrat, we will do a lot of things. In dream, we will enjoy our vasanas all. And in the Sushupti, we'll close the whole thing, shut down, and we'll go to sleep. So, Jagrat Sapnam, Sushupti does not affect the Antaryami. One. Then balyam, kaumaryam, yavanam, vardhakyam, which happens, the changes in the body. What Krishna said, that kaumaryam, yavanam, jara, those things don't affect the antaryami. That's all for the body, and jiva feels it, the change in the body, right? So, balyam, kaumaryam, yavanam, vardhakyam, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, and the old age, all those things, right? Then, when thought waves are there, chittavritti, when chittavritti comes, we change, isn't it? In our, it affects us strongly. So, when chittavrittis are there and chittavrittis are not there, it makes no difference to Andaryami. Andaryami is not affected, right? Similarly, sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, when they come in us, we get affected. Don't we? We know sometimes that we were in tamogunam. We will know that. Only when you come to sattvagunam, you realize that. When you are in tamogunam, you won't know that. But when you come to little bit sattvagunam, everybody gets it now and then. And similarly, you can also notice that you run around a lot doing different things. And then when you come home and start thinking, what I was doing, just nothing but rajogunam in me was doing everything, was pushing me to go here, go there, go all sorts of things, right? So the sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam is not affecting Andaryami. Chittavrittis are not affecting Andaryami. And similarly, childhood, boyhood, youthhood, old age is not affecting Andaryami. And also, Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti is not affecting Andaryami. So practically, Andaryami's role, position is like that. Totally unaffected by everything. That is why Krishna is saying that, Na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. That's Andaryami, Krishna is saying. That is Andaryami. Ubhayora vidashtantam stanayor tatudashibhi. Right? So this... So, when all these things are happening in us, all these things, what we have spoken, when they are happening in us, there is one thing inside us which is not affected by any of these things, right? And awareness, bodham. And that can happen any time, even while in the satsangam also. The benefit of all that is, it is like a pilgrimage from drishyam to drukha. From the drishyam to drukha, right? So, from chinda, from thoughts, to chitta, chitta inside, right? So that means your shraddha, attention, has gone to your existence, in other words, astitvam. Astitvam means our very existence, right? Our actual surupam is that, Andaryami surupam, right? Shandi. And there is shandi, it is unbroken, it is all-pervading, all that qualities of Andaryami comes in at that time. And that is sahajam, right? Natural, right? So, Krishna says, a liberated soul in this world, he is walking in this world with a whole ocean around him. What he meant to say was that, it is like an ocean who can pull all force, rivers into it, and still be peaceful. Still be peaceful. And that is the verse Krishna said in the second chapter, verse 70, if you look. Two verses before the last verse. Abhuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramava pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamamyam pravishandi sarve sa shandim apnodi na kamakami. Famous verses, right? Abhuryamanam achala pratishtam samudramava pravishandi yadvad tadvad kamamyam tadvad kamayam pravishandi sarve na sa shandim apnodi na kamakami. What Krishna says that shandi is not for a person who is always trying to fulfill the desires. He will never have. Sa shandi mapnodi na kamakami. Kamakami will never get shandi. Kamakami will never get shandi. Right? So, how many places Krishna has spoken this? Sa shandi mapnodi na kamakami. About this, right? One who is fulfilling the desires all the time, trying to fulfill different types of desires, and one who is wandering around in this world trying to fulfill all the needs, desires, right? In order to fulfill in different ways, like for example, many temples people go because there is some desires inside to fulfill. And if Krishna can help, or sometimes you say if Radharani can help, if you go through Radharani, you may get it done earlier. People have all these kind of interpretations. Desire is there. We are looking, can Krishna help or can Radharani can help? Some people say if you go through Radharani, it will get done quickly. All these kind of things people talk about it, is it not? So, Kamagami is not gone. Whether it can, then sometimes maybe we go through Sita Devi and to Ramachandra. That may be the better path. So we have got all the deities everywhere, to fulfill our Kamagami, or fulfill all our desires, right? So, and therefore special offerings for that, and the temples will also promote this a lot. They'll tell people that you've got this kind of problems, examination you're not getting through, struggling very hard, and you're not sure whether you're done well or not. If you don't get through, then the whole thing you have to start again. So that suffering, students suffer like that, in that way. Similarly, men are not getting married, women are not getting married, parents are under anxiety, and then they will look for some solutions in this way, through the temples also, right? So everything, or sometimes relationship problems, husband and wife, or sometimes children don't listen to you. Then the parents are thinking, what to do now? You've done everything you can. But they are not listening. They are going their own way. And somebody will tell you at that time, when you are very down, depressed about it, somebody will tell you, if you make this offering in that temple, probably it will help. And sometimes it helps. And then your faith increases at that time. This is all the psychology, what is going on behind this. Temples are ready for everything. They'll give you some solution. There's a list of all kinds of offerings you can make at the temple for different problems what you have. Say you've got a lot of problems with Inland Revenue, and they are bothering you a lot that you're not paid the taxes, and they're going to claim a lot of money from you, and you're going to lose a lot of money, and then you're worrying about it all the time. Then you go to the temple, there'll be offering for Inland Revenue also to escape from the Inland Revenue problems. Like these temples are also marketing in this way. This is all normal in this world. Yeah. So, fulfilling the desires is all based on this, that all these pujas, different types of puja, what is made in the temple. Even here also, it's not that they didn't think different here. You can see in this Western world also, many temples, they'll arrange some special puja or special sacrifice. And they will tell, if you come and if you donate this much for this puja, this benefit will get from that. All your problems will be solved from that. They make all, there's quite a lot of that, right? So fulfilling desires is a part of this life, every one of us, as long as we are in the... So that is why Krishna said, when he started this second chapter, he said, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmani vatmana tushta. Yeah. So that is the answer to the problem. You see, Krishna's solution is that. When he said earlier, before that, when he said that, that Shanti state, he said, Prajahadi yada kaman. In answer to that question, Arjuna asked the question, Siddha Prajnasya Bhasha. Ka bhasha, sthita prajnasya ka bhasha, samadhistasya keshava, he said. Is it not? The answer, Krishna's answer was, prajahadi yada kaman, sarvan partha, manogadan. Yeah? Knowing that it's all coming from the mind, all the desires, and so you can understand spiritual life, as you move forward, the whole game changes. In the beginning, it is all right, all these nice prasadam and... nice prasadam, dancing, chanting, everything is fine. But things get a little bit serious, then it is expected more from us. Kaman, sarvan partha manogadan, Krishna is saying. Prajahadi yada kaman, sarvan partha manogadan. Alpani valpana tushta. Yeah. So he says there, able to be satisfied, Atma, only with Atma, and satisfied and stayed in Atma. Able to situated in Atma. Nothing else is required. That means complete satisfaction being situated in the platform of the self. Andaryami, right? Alam bhav. Atma samstam manakritva sanyas najirenadi gachadi. So in the last verse you saw that, isn't it? The buddhya dhriti grihidaya atma samstam manakrutva na kinchid api chintayet. Na kinchid api chintayet. In the 625 we saw that. Shanay shanay ruparamit. Buddhya dhriti grihidaya atma samstam manakrutva. Chinda comes to, thoughts stops at that time, right? So then, what does that mean? Atmasamstam manakrutva. Able to dissolve the mind in the Atma. Mind goes and gets settled in Atma. Atmasamstam manakrutva. Na kinchit api chindayet. After that, because once the mind goes to Andaryami and settles down, no more thoughts will come after that. Mind is working, thoughts will be there. When the mind is working, thoughts will be there. But once the mind goes to Andaryami and settles there, Atma samstam manakrutva na kinchid api chindayet. No more thoughts will come after that. So that technique of taking the mind inwards and getting established in the Atma, no more thinking after that, but when this is happening, when we are making that step, there is another force that is acting opposite to that. When we are doing this, that's prarabdham. Prarabdham is that force that is acting opposite to this, not allowing you to go inwards, right? Yeah. So this prarabdham's another name is maya. Maya is nothing but prarabdham only. When you are experiencing it, you are calling it as prarabdham. But it is maya who is controlling it from behind, right? So another name for prarabdham is maya. What will that do? What that prarabdham does is, you may be sitting down without thinking anything, right? And it will create some incident in your life to make you start thinking about it. That's how prarabdham comes. You must have noticed all these things. Yeah, everybody knows that. Some people say, I was sitting like Rama Rama, sitting, and suddenly some problem comes. Rama Rama gone, I'm running after the problem. How we fall, in split of a second, whole thing has gone. All what you heard in Bhagavad Gita, hours and hours in Salsangam, what you read in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, where is all that gone? A little problem is enough. Suddenly you're gone after that, straight away. Yeah. So that is what he's saying here, that and then you'll create such a problem and the thoughts will come one after the other. Thoughts will start coming. And you are feeling a little shanti inside without any thoughts, and suddenly this whole thing comes back, right? So, sometimes people think, I'm not going to bother about anything in this world. I'm going to sit in one place, you know, thinking about Krishna, what Krishna has said in the Bhagavad Gita, what I heard. And I'm sitting there peacefully, and suddenly something happens, the whole thing is gone, right? So, that is called compulsive thinking. Heard that word? Nowadays they say that. Compulsive thinking. You don't want to think about it. It comes suddenly from behind. Right? Compulsive thinking. Right? So, and this compulsive thinking, after some time, it can become a disease. It can become a disease. Right? And that is why a lot of thought waves comes and you are burning in that thoughts. Chinda dehadi jivitam. Chinda, you keep, and it becomes a disease at the end, particularly old age. You keep on thinking, worrying about everyone, everything in the world, and the whole thing gets inside. And you keep on thoughts becomes a big problem, and that you are burning because of the thoughts inside, right? So, and that is why Patanjali says this, yogaha chittavritti nirodha. Chittavritti has to come to an end, right? And Patanjali spoke about one dimension of that, right? That state when there is no chittavritti, no thought waves. That's what Krishna is also saying. Na kinchit abhi chindayet. What Patanjali says, Krishna is also saying the same thing. Na kinchit abhi chindayet. Patanjali says, yoga chittavritti nirodhaha. Krishna is saying, atma samstam manakrutva na kinchit abhi chindayet. Chinda has to completely stop. Right. But another thing Krishna has said there, what was that? The knowledge is there, clarity is there, not thinking about it, right? He says that is the situation what Krishna is saying here. In other words, knowledge is there and the clarity is there, but at the same time no thoughts are coming. And that is what this word means. Atma samstam manakritva na kinchid api chintayet. That two lines, right? Which means that you have started recognizing Antaryami inside, Krishna's presence inside. Why is that? That chitta vritti, which was coming very strongly from the mind, which was happening in the mind, gradually you are able to break through that. And you get a grab there, and whatever that was causing this problem of chitta vritti, you have abandoned it as much as possible. What was causing this chitta vritti, right? Otherwise, mind won't stay, because as long as when there are problems in the world outside, only then the mind will be functioning. So if the problems are not coming, then the mind will also settle down, right? So gradually Krishna is saying that if you are able to abandon those things which are creating this chittavritti to a large extent, then in a natural way the mind will go back to Antaryami. In the 18th chapter, Krishna says this, 49th verse, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Senadhi Gacchari, 1849. Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra. See that? Asakta Buddhi Sarvatra. Not entertaining any outside things to come inside. Jidalma Vigadas Praha Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Sanati Gachari. So, from Krishna's point of view, this is sannyasam state. Completely become free from karma. Naishkarma Siddhi. And no thought waves are coming from outside. And you are in union with the Antaryami inside, right? No attraction for any happiness in this world. And full control on the mind and the senses, and no desires for results from anything. He is a person, that state is called a sannyasam, and through that sannyasam, he gets released from the cycle of birth and death. That is a famous verse, these two words. Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Sanadi Gacchari. Sannyasam means Naishkarma Siddhi. And in the Bhagavatam also same thing. Naishkarmam abhi achyuta bhava varjidam na shobhade jnanam alam niranjanam kudapuna shashada vadramishwari na arpidam karma yadapyanuttamam. Twice that verse has come in the Bhagavatam about this Naishkarma state. Naishkarma siddhi. To become free from karmam, then he is in the sannyasam state. But now sannyasis are the most busy people in the world. The other way it has gone. So, are they not reading this Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam? What does it mean then? They are the ones who are most busy now. More busy than the business people. Business people, they have no time because they have to make money, isn't it? So, they are flying around all over. So, here Krishna is saying, Naishkarma Siddhim Paramam Sanye Sanadi Gacchari. Right? So, only in that state, that mind will come to that nishchalada. Mind naturally come to a steady state, right? And that is sannyasam. Krishna said that, right? And that's what Vajagovindam prayers also. Nishchalada to a jivan mukti. The nishchalada, that state, that peacefulness inside, what you felt, right? So, one who is in that nishchala tattvam, or that naishkarma siddhi state, right? He is Yadi. He is called Yadi. Right? That's a great secret because normally what it is from Vaidigam aspect we are saying this, right? Vedam says, if you are doing your Swadharmam properly, that then to a large extent there will be this Nischala Tattvam in you. Why we are so disturbed now? Because none of us are doing our Swadharmam. Isn't it? We are doing according to the time situation we are acting in this world. We want money, we'll go to study something. And then after that we have to get a work. to some job. With all these things going around, where dharmam is there in that? Where is Swadharmam? Who is following Vedam? In the last chapter, Krishna said, if you have left of Shastram, you are finished. Whatever you are doing is all your mind dictating from inside. Yeah. So, normally the secret is this. This is why rishis have put a line to everything. And they have told us that if you are Swadharmam, if you are situated properly, then to a large extent, you will experience that nishchalata inside. Nishchalatattvam. It will be there inside. We have made everything very complicated. The life itself we have made very complicated. With our plans, you know, sense gratification, economic development, sense gratification, all these things, we have complicated our life. Krishna is saying this, that as long as you are in your Swadharma, this is why Shastram comes in. Shastram's importance. If you deviate from that and then you want to have spiritual life, Krishna says, forget it. It's not going to happen. This is the importance. You remember last two verses in the end, he stressed the importance of Shastram so much. He said to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you are not following Shastram, forget about your spiritual life. It is not going to, you do what you like. He is not pushing you to do anything. He is saying you can do whatever you want, but then the end result is you won't get released from the cycle of birth and death. That's all it is. You'll come back again, take another body and suffer through. That's all. That's all the problem. Nothing else. According to your karma, you'll get another body or you go to the hell planets or hellish planets, whatever it is. Right? So, paradharmam, if you do dharmam, what you are not destined to do, you are supposed to do, the sodharmam, if you do that, more thoughts will come. Chinda will come. Right? And it is like that. Things what we should not do, if you do that, it creates more thoughts inside, isn't it? Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done that. Many times it happens like that in life. We'll go and do some things and then later on you start thinking, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Right? So, in other words, when you are behaving, acting like that, something what is not in your surupam, with sadharmam, right? Even if you do it for a little bit of time, thoughts will come naturally. And that is the reason that that state is called that sahaja avastha. Sahaja avastha means that the more you become natural in your lifestyle, very natural, if that way, to that extent, we will be free from ragadvesham and bhayam, fear. These three things. Ragam, dvesham, bhayam. These three things won't affect us as long as we are doing our swadharmam, what we are meant to do, which we don't do. And that is why there is so much anxiety and fear inside us, right? So, and if there is ragadvesham inside, thoughts will come. Thoughts will come, right? And similarly, if there is a lot of attachment inside, thoughts will come, right? So, what normally people does is, in order not to think about problems, they'll switch on the television and go and sit in front of that, right? And then what happens? You will see others' problem. All what you have done is, you have replaced your problems with others' problems. The others' problems comes in, right? And that is what the television, serials and all do that, right? And all their problems, you start worrying about them, right? And so, we have to think about our problems also. If you watch television, serials, reels and all that, you are busy with all others' problems and you have no time to think about your problems. So that way you escape from your own problems by watching them. So I think the government realizes they are going to give all the pensioners now free television license. They understood that. That old people have got so much problems. So let them enjoy the television 24 hours and get free from all the problems of life. That's their solution anyway for that. So anyway, so now fortunately the facility is available in the mobile phone also. You don't have to want to switch on this thing in the, this asura we are keeping with us all the time. And it controls us to such an extent. Wherever you go, it has to be with you. Even go to the toilet, it has to be there with you. It has become a sidekick with you all the time. Right? So, and the good thing about that is satsangam is also possible through the mobile, right? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything. And similarly, mind also, japam, chanting the holy name, meditation, dhyanam. Similarly, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all these things, if one does that, for a person who is doing sadhana in life, his time is to be spent in this way, in this kind of thing, japam, dhyanam, puja, all such things. So, what is Krishna is talking about there? Svalpam, he said, isn't it? Svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayat. But svalpam means, is this, that what you are doing now, little bit, whatever you are doing, you are chanting the holy name, and for some time you are chanting the holy name, and then for some time you read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, for some time you spent in Salsangam, for some time you went to the temple, offered obeisances to the deity, and deity worship, and things like that. If you continuously do that, there is not much time for other things to get in, inside, right? So, all other subjects, naturally you will become disconnected with that, right? And they will not come inside. And that also make your mind a little bit more peaceful, right? Continuous bhajana, engage in bhajana, right? And so if you are able to use the whole time in that way, and that is called siddhi. That's called siddhi. You remember Krishna mentions that in the 18th chapter, what it means. If you look at the 18th chapter, he says there that the nature of a person who is doing that, 52nd verse, 1852, vivikta sevi, leghuashi, yata vakaya manasa, dhyana yoga paro nityam, vairagyam samubhashridaha. Important verse. Vivikta sevi, leghuashi, yata vakaya manasa, dhyana yoga paro nityam, vairagyam samubhashridaha. Vairagyam samupashrita, right? Means that it's a fine description of a yoga, right? He is always alone, sits alone, right? And he will eat only when he is hungry. Otherwise he won't eat. Not for sense gratification. We are people who are planning what should we eat. That is a big topic every day. For the mother also to cook all different types of food people like in home, and there are so many different types of food coming from outside. Why not try these different equipments for making it? All these is a big project going on simultaneously with the spiritual life inside. Yeah. So, and then, so Krishna is saying there, only when he is hungry he will eat a little bit, just to suppress the hunger. Then, not talking too much. Vivikta sevi leguashi. Yada vakaya manasa. Right? And in this way, not talking too much, living, keeping to oneself all the time, not associating with others too much, being in solitude, and eating only what is bare necessary, and in that way, keeping the body under discipline. The body under discipline. Right? And whenever he gets time, dhyanam or japam, chanting the holy name or meditation, right? So, such a person, Krishna says, he will be qualified for liberation at some point, because this is a sadhana. You see, time is maya. We don't think like that, do we? Time is maya. And time means kalam. Kalam is maya, isn't it? Kalam is death. What we have got is a certain amount of time. That's all what we have. And say, you remember in the Mugdasya Bale Kaumare, Kredade Yadi Vimshari, Prahlada says, Jarayagrastha Dehasya Yati Galpasya Vimshari. Prahlada calculates our life, 100 years, how it's spent. First 20 years, busy, playing, enjoying life. Mugdasya Balyam Kaumaram, Kridade Yadi Vimshari, up to 20 years, it goes like that. Then, Jarayagrastha Dehasya Yati Galpasya Vimshari. Due to old age, the last 20 years of life, practically we are not able to do much. The old age, is it not? last 20 years in life, you are just dragging on every day, waiting for the exit. So, jarayagrastha dehasya yati kalpasya vimshati. Because at that time, even if you hear something, it's not going any inside. It's not having big impact. You can't even remember also many things. If I left the watch here, I'm thinking, where did I leave the watch? It comes to that. And to such people, if you tell all Vedantam, what is it going to happen? You can't even think, immediate things you can't remember. So memory is also going, body is giving a lot of trouble. So Prahlad said, jarayagrastha dehasya, once jara comes, yati kalpasya vimshari, 20 years have gone like that. The first 20 years, mukdasya balya kaumare kridade yadi vimshari, jarayagrastha dehasya yati kalpasya vimshari. So out of the 100 years, 40 years have gone like this. Another 20 years you have slept whole night. So how much left have you, time have you got? Practically very little, is it not? So having said that, he is saying, dear, that the that kalam, what we have got, the time, or time what comes, it comes in the form of prarabdham. Prarabdham is kalam, right? And kalam is Krishna. Kalam is Krishna, right? And remember this. Arjuna said to Krishna this, isn't it? And Krishna said, Kalosmi. Kalosmi. I am Kalam, he said. Kalosmi loka chayagat pravurta. Logan samahartum iha pravurta. 11th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. When Arjuna saw the universal form, Arjuna said to Krishna, and Krishna is saying, Kalosmi, I am Kalam, he said. So Kalam is this, time is Maya, and then Kalam is me, Krishna is saying, right? And why do we have problem, pravardham, kala kalayadamaham, another place Krishna said that, in Bhagavad Gita, right? So Krishna's grip on us, is in the form of time, right? It's understandable, is it not? He decides how long you should stay in this body, in this world, and what all prarabdham you have to go through. Everything, he can control that very well, right? So, can you not see Krishna as time then, right? And time is life. Actually, time is life, right? And that is why olden days they used to say, katha kalakshepam, they say. Hari katha kalakshepam. Kalakshepam means that winding down this time through hari katha. Kalam is time, kalakshepam. Right? So, if all the time what we have, if you can absorb in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and in that way, if you are able to spend that way, and because time is prarabdham, the difficulty is that our vasanas will become a problem for us. Right? So therefore, an old Vaidya Brahmana, he meets Acharya Swamiji's father, Shivaguru. They met, right? And Shivaguru and Acharya Swamiji's mother, Aryamba, they were very rigid in their anushtanam. Them days, they were like that. They had, you see, it was not like today. They were waking up in the morning, say 3 o'clock or so, and the first drop of water, they will have it by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So 9-10 hours, continuously sadhana, upasana, they did that. Yeah, they'll walk to the temple, even if it is miles away, they'll walk to the temple. They'll only bathe in the river. They are particular that they should bathe in the flowing water. They didn't have bathrooms and toilets like what we... We have become so lazy and we need all these things. And they didn't have latest model cars. They had to walk miles and miles. They'll walk to the temple. Even while walking, they are busy with their spiritual life. sadhana upasana. That strength, upasana, comes from that. Yeah, upasana. So, while he was bathing in a river, at that time, a Vaidika Brahmana comes there, a very old Vaidika Brahmana, and they had a conversation between Shivaguru, that is Acharya's father, and Shivaguru. They had a conversation. Pradhar Vaidika Karma Madas Tadnust Vedanta Sam Chindaya Paschal Bharata Moksha Dharma Mananat Vasishtha Ramayanat Sayam Bhagavadartha Divya Kathayo Ratro Nididhyasanal Kalo Gachadina Sharira Bharanam Prarabdha Kandarpidam. It's a famous verse. What he's saying is that in the morning when you wake up, he has to do all the Sandhyavandanam and all the Vaidika Karma, what they had to do. He did that. And then after that is over, he is busy with studying all the Vedandam, Upanishads and other things. Morning hours, he does that, right? Studying the Upanishads, Brahma Sutram and higher levels of Vedandam. Then he studies Mahabharatam with Bhagavad Gita in that. And sometimes he studies Yoga Vasishtam and Ramayanam. And in the evening he read Bhagavadam. And in the night time, before going to bed, he was engaged in the self-inquiry. This is how they spend their time. This Vriddha Brahmana says to him. And that is how I am getting rid of my prarabdham, said Shivaguru to this old Brahmana. The old Brahmana said to Shivaguru, Shivaguru said to old Brahmana, this is how I spend my time, this words. Pradhar Vaidya Karma Madhastani Sad Vedanta Samchintaya Paschal Bharata Moksha Dharma Mananad Vasishta Ramayanat Sayam Bhagavadartha Divya Kathaya Ratrav Nididhyasanal Kalo Gachaditna Sharira Bharanam Prarabdha Kandarpidam. As far as body is concerned, he said, I've handed it over to the Prarabdham. Let the Prarabdham do whatever it wants to do with my body. Rest of the, all the time I spend in this way. Who Shivaguru said this to this old Brahmana who had come. And then this old Brahmana looks at Shivaguru very seriously after hearing all this explanation from him. He said to him that it is important that you have to have a son in family, householder life, right? Only then the grihasthashram is complete in that way. Prajayahi manushyaha purnaha. This is in the Vedam. And when first-class brahmanas who have that brahminical culture strongly in them, if they had a son, it pleases devadas also and whole human society. So, and if that has not happened, yogi says that their samadhi state, there will be upasarga. Upasarga means there will be disturbances in the samadhi. So, some people, by birth itself, they have transcended this praja ulpati. That means, having children, then dharmam, they can transcend that. And some people in this world are not qualified for praja ulpati, for having children. Right? Apart from that, everybody else, according to pragrati dharmam, Krishna is saying, this has to happen. That's why you will see that in the 13th chapter when Krishna said, used a word there, Bhuta Prakriti Moksha. Remember that famous word that is. It's an amazing word that is. Bhuta Prakriti Moksha. You become free from the Prakriti, three modes of nature, and also from the five material elements. Five material elements, right? So therefore, he advises to Shivaguru that you take shelter of Shiva, Lord Shiva, and you are getting old. They were very old then, Shivaguru and Aryamba, and they said that you are getting old, therefore I bless you that you will have a son very soon. He goes away, and then so Ajari Samji was born. Anyway, that is the story behind that. Pro, the important thing is that Prarabdha Kandarpidam, in other words, a certain amount of time, live in this world and finish it up. That's all, right? what do you do then? For sannyasis, right? Or people who are retired from working life, right? Whatever time is left after your prarabdham. Prarabdham takes a lot of time in life with the body, mind and all that. And whatever time is left, that is for, in Bhagavadam, that is how it was spoken. You remember, when Bhagavadam began, this question came, what is dharmam which is not kapatyam, no kapata dharmam? That verse, yeah? Dharma projjita kaidavotra paramo nirmal saranam sadam vedyam vastomatra vastu shivadam tapatrayon mulanam. So, Bhagavad Aradhana Lakshanam is dharmam first. Dharmam, right? You are doing all the aradhana, dhyanam, japam, swadhyayam, all the things what is required, right? And trying to purify divine nature, or in other words, trying to develop divine nature, right? So, all these things, purification happens through all these sadhana processes. Javam, dhyanam, similarly the swadhyayam, other things, what we have spoken. Satsangam, everything is a part of that, right? So, little bit of karmam you have done, and then you have done puja, self-inquiry, atma-vijaram, and all these things you have done, and ultimately, I'll say, you offer everything with this understanding that the famous verse, Manobuddhi Ahangara Chittani Naham. Manobuddhi Ahangara Chittani Naham, Naja Shrotra Jihve, Naja Krana Netrai. Naja Vyoma Bhumir, na Tejo, na Vayu, Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. It's a famous Nirvana Shalkam, it's called, that prayer says these verses, right? In other words, that how the day is structured, that Brahmana is saying, how his day is structured, right? He engaged his time in all the Upasana, what is prescribed for him. He did that throughout the day. Spend his time in reading Mahabharatam, Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita in the morning. Yoga Vasishtam, Ramayanam later on. Bhagavatam in the evening. And before going to bed, spend time in reflecting about the self. So he, and whatever time, Moksha Dharma Mananad, he says. Moksha Dharma is referring to Mahabharatam, particularly Bhagavad Gita, right? Bhagavad Gita, Vasishtha Ramayana, Yoga Vasishtam, in this way, till he go to sleep, he spend all the time doing this. In other words, one should fill the whole time in day, if possible, with Krishna conscious activities, like that, right? Dhyanam, meditation, japam, and japam is important because continuously doing that, constant yajnam. Yajnanam java yajnosmi, Krishna is saying. Moment by moment, japam brings samadhi to a person, bindu tarpanam. Then similarly, pradibodha vihidam. When other thoughts are coming, not allowing the thoughts to come in, and in that way the chanting should continue, so that no thoughts comes inside. So, shabda, holy name is Shabda Brahmam. So if Shabda Brahmam comes inside, then other thoughts will not, should not come. That's the way it is. Right? So, and that is a tapasya. It is a tapasya. Right? So you will see there, tapaswadhyaya niratam. Studying it and performing tapasya. So you got to be so determined to do these things. Right? These are all secrets of spiritual life. Adhyatma Jeevitam, it's rahasyam. Yeah. So what we are doing now is defining that word Krishna said, yogam, right? Yeah, so, the yogam, how to get to that yoga state, what Krishna spoke about, right? So, all the obstacles in the body, you remove them with karma yoga. Yeah, that's what karma yoga is for. The obstacles that you are experiencing in spiritual life, what is dragging you back into the body again and again, you get rid of those obstacles by following karma yoga. Then, all the problems of the mind, you get rid of them through upasana. See, all this upasana, what we are talking about, salsangam, japam, dhyanam, swadhyayam, everything is centered around mind, isn't it? Mind is the focus there, not the body. Karmam is in the body, and that karmam has to, you have to get rid of that, the karma vasana in that, by karma yogam, karma yogam. So similarly, the problems of the mind, you have to get rid of that through all these upasana processes, right? And then what, after that, through knowledge of the self, you have to able to be situated in the self. So, shariram, the body problems, obstacles in the body, you remove them with karma yoga. The obstacles in the mind, you remove them with the upasana. And ultimately, you get established yourself in the antaryami, which is the very self. So we'll continue after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvapanam shraya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrudaswadanam sarvatma subanambaram vijayade shri krishna sankirtanam namnamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala edadrushi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi Durdevamidrashamiha janina nuragaha Tranarabi shunichena tarorabi sahishuna Amanina manadena kirtani yasada hari Nathanam najanam nasundari Kavidamba jagadi shakamai Mama janmani janmani shwari Pavadal bhaktirahai togitwai Ainandanunja kingaram Padidamam shami bhavambudo Kripayata vapada pangajastida duli sadrasham vijindaya Nayanam galada shudharaya, padanam gadgadarudhaya gira, pulagayam nijidam gadavavo, tavam namagrahane bhavishyadi. Yuga idam nimeshena, chakshusha pravisha idam, shunya idam jagal sarvam, govinda virahename. Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam, adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva, yathatadava vidatadhulam padu, malpranunathastunayevana para. Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. The problems of the body, or the problems that body creates in spiritual life, one has to become free from that through karma yoga. The problems of the mind, one has to become free through the process of upasana, bhakti. Upasana is bhakti. And then after, once you have crossed all that, then to get established in the self, that has to be done through knowledge, jnana. So, and so removing the obstacles one after the other from the body, from the mind, and eventually getting settled in the self, antaryami, right? So, and that state is called the shanti state. Shanti is what they call the prosperity stage, where it is. Krishna mentions that earlier, he said, ashandasya kuta sukham. In one verse he says that, ashandasya kuta sukham, right? What he's saying is, in the middle of Mahabharata war, he was in the shanti state. Imagine that. In the battlefield, to be in that state. Mahabharata war, so many people got killed and big fight goes on, right? So, in our case, our house itself is a Kurukshetra. Our own house is a Kurukshetram. That's going on all the time there. Fight, arguments, fight, discussions, everything. Right? And we are inquiring about Shandi. Krishna goes to Mahabharata Yuddham in the Kurukshetram, in the battlefield, he is in the Shandi state. Right? So therefore, that is why in Bhagavad Gita it was spoken to show to us that the Shandi, if you have, even in the middle of battlefield, it is possible to remain in that state. That's the beauty of this, that's the idea of speaking Bhagavad Gita and the Kurukshetram, to convince us that that state of realization, if it is there in a person, even in the battlefield, because battlefield is supposed to be the most disturbing place, isn't it? When the war happens, everyone is killing each other. There's no other place more disturbing than that. But even in the middle of that, Krishna was able to maintain that state. So, Krishna asking Arjuna, is it possible to have Shandi here now, in this battlefield, right? In the middle of all these things, Arjuna says that, if I could get a little bit less distress here, it would have been better. Krishna says, Guru nabi dukkham na vijayate. We saw that verse before, is it not? That in the middle of Guru nabi dukkham, Guru means very heavy dukkham, heavy distress. All members are getting killed, armies, a lot of death is happening, and everyone is hating each other and killing each other. In the middle of that, vijayate, not disturbed by all that, right? So, is it possible to remain like that? That means in the middle of the greatest crisis in life, able to remain not touched by that, no movement at all, and that is the test. That is the test. That's what Krishna said that in that verse. Guru nabhi vichalyade. You remember that? That verse. Sixth chapter. Yeah. I mentioned that in the morning. Guru Nabi Vishalide, that's the last line. Yeah. Yelmabdha Chabran Labam. Manidhi Nathiyam Tada. That verse, yeah? Yeah. Sutta Swabi Kaundiya, Guru Nabi Vishalide. Yeah. One who can stay in that state. So, that's what Krishna is talking about, right? Means a lot of distress is coming, but is it possible to remain untouched by that? That is the test. That's the test, right? So, it's no good enough when they take a photograph that you remain as a yogi. That's not good enough, right? So, our life itself in this world is like a Kurukshetram. The war going on all the time, right? And is it possible to be peaceful in this state? Ashandasya kuta sukham. So, so, in order that to happen, in spiritual life, when one becomes highly inward looking, then it is possible. Only then it is possible. Only if you become highly inward looking, it is possible to remain like that. Right? So, in other words, you have to keep looking at yourself all the time, which is Antaryami, right? And which means that when you say like that, it may look selfish, isn't it? Only you're looking after yourself. It's not looking after yourself, you're looking at yourself all the time, right? So, in other words, that selfishness is in the mode of goodness. It's first-class selfishness, that is, to inquire about the self, going towards the self, right? And once you have decided that I want Shandi, then if you want Shandi, it is for that purpose I have to go inwards, I have no other choice. In that case, you are selfless person, if you are thinking like that. Actually, he is the one who is actually selfless. The one who turns all his attention inwards towards Antaryami, and he wants to, he's thinking that I want peace in my life, Shanti, I want it, right? And he's the one who is actually selfless, right? They are selfish in the sense, they are intelligent selfish, intelligently selfish. They are very intelligent to being selfish like that. Because they have decided that what they want is Shanti in life, yeah? So therefore what happens? No competition with anyone then after that. You don't have to compete with anybody on this, right? You don't want anything from anyone and no ragadvesham towards anyone. That malsara buddhi has gone, competition against each. Nirmalsaranam sadam, Bhagavatam says in the beginning, isn't it? Malsara buddhi has gone, hate has gone, because once these things come, malsara buddhi, hate, ragadvesham, and all these things, when they come, competition and all, immediately Shanti will go. Immediately Shanti will go. So first thing to decide is that, what do we want in life? The Shanti is the one what Krishna is talking about, right? If you have decided like that, then you have the Shanti as the goal, then you have come to the spiritual path. Otherwise not. So, in the olden days, you know, the Brahminical community, they were always migrating one place to another. They won't live in one place. They used to migrate, right? Often due to invasions, Muslim invasions, or sometimes due to war in different places, a lot of disturbance used to happen at that time. In the villages also, a lot of disturbance will happen, right? And they cannot fight. They are not used to fighting with the weapons and all that. They don't know what to do with the weapons. Right? So what they will do in those days, that's why you find in the history, if you look at, deities were taken from one place to another, temples were built in another place. Deity has to move along with the brahmanas. They will migrate from one place to another. Temples also has to migrate. Deity also has to migrate with them. You remember the deities from Vrindavanam to Jaipur, from Jaipur to somewhere else to other villages. Loads of places this has happened. When Muslims comes and they were invading and all that war was happening, they will destroy the temple. So brahmanas' wealth is this deity in the temple. They'll try to protect as much as possible. Sometimes they'll throw them inside the rivers, inside the tanks and places like that, so that the deity is not touched by anybody else, right? So they are like that. Wherever there is peace, they would like to be there, not in the disturbed state, right? And like the migrating birds, you know the birds, they migrate from one place to another, they keep migrating in that way, right? So, but the thing is that to get peace inside, this outside migration is not going to help very much. The Krishna is saying this. You have to get this peace inside here, not by migration to other places. That is Krishna's solution to this. That's what he is explaining here. That you have to find that peace within yourself, right? And outside this migration is not the solution for that. And you got to get it inside, within everyone. And outside whatever you achieve in this world, it's not particularly any value for it. Krishna says that. Whatever you achieve in this world outside, there is no particularly value for that, right? Sarvam vyartham, right? So this selfishness, to get that shanti inside, one has to acquire that selfishness somehow. One has to feel that strongly inside, that I need that shanti inside. For that, the selfishness, what is required for that, one has to have it. One has to build it up, right? So, that means that decision is made by oneself, anyone for that matter. At least from now on, I want that shanti inside. So, many, many great personalities, this is what they have decided, right? And some of them have become very famous in that process, right? And it could be anything. Say, maybe you're cooking in the kitchen. That could be your occupation, right? But if this tattvam is known very well, that shanti inside is more important, and shanti is only present there, nowhere else outside, And if you are able to do the reflection on that, mananam, with that, even if you are doing an office work, or you are doing a work at the kitchen, or whatever it may be, doing all that and able to remain in shanti state. That's what he is talking about, right? And that is what this Naishkarmya Siddhi, Krishna is using that word, Naishkarmya Siddhi. Naishkarmya Siddhi means that that this state where you are able to be like that. So, shanti state inside. Some people, they are very busy in life with various things. And they do a lot of work, and they do a lot of vyavaharam as well in this world. But in the middle of that, they are able to maintain that shanti inside, right? It is possible, that's what they are saying. And we should be able to do that. In vyavaharam also, able to get that shanti inside. And so, if you go into great personalities and look at their life, you will find this. When independence movement was going on, there was the whole country was on fire. Everybody was fighting for independence and all that. Mahatma Gandhi was able to maintain his shanti inside. How is that possible? How was he able to do that? He said, this whole independence movement is helping me for my self-realization. That was his answer for that. That's how he seen it. That I realize that shanti I have to find within, not from the world outside, right? Ramana Maharshi said the same thing, that he says that I was a very big family man like thing at home. He had a big family, his parents were there, brothers, sisters, they were all there. So one day he gave up everything and walked away from there. And he says, I came to this to Tirunamalai, and I was living in the forest to become free from all that. I come here. Now what happened? Another family has come, he says. All these well-wishers and disciples and who are considered disciples, they all come and they want to build an ashram around me, he said. Send it around me. I didn't want all these things, right? So, at home now I feel better. I wish I was staying at home, he said. Because at home there was only 4 or 5 people. Now there is a whole assembly of people, thousands, hundreds, thousands comes regularly to visit him, right? So now, at home I had to listen to the problems of only 3 or 4 people. Now I have to listen to the problems of thousands of people who are coming and telling me all their problems, right? So, in spiritual life, sometimes, in ashrams you will notice this, you will get people who are a little bit, gone a little bit mad, crazy, in that way, right? And you will have to manage all these people. They'll come with their problems. It's normal, it's not unusual. They'll come. And if they think that there's somebody in the ashram can help, they'll come and tell you all their problems, right? So in that level, spiritual life is not easy. Because they come with all their problems and tell you about their problems. And you have to deal with that, isn't it? So therefore, it is easier if one can live alone without being disturbed by all the other things, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, Jadabharata said this. If you look at Jadabharata, why I am going on like this? What he did was, he said, I am behaving as though I am a bit crazy. Yeah? And he is walking, what was that? People, when they see him, they will realize that if they get to know who I am, it will be a problem. Because they will they'll try to create a situation where they'll pull me into it. I don't want that, he said. So if you look into the 5th canto, what he said, Jadabharata's answer about that, yeah? What Bharata has to say was, Bharata says, fifth canto, 12th chapter, 15th verse. He's saying to Raghuna, what he's doing? He says, सामाम स्मृतिर देह मृगदेहे भी वीरा कृष्ण अर्चन प्रभवो नो जहारी अथो अहम जन संगाद असंगम विषंगमानो अविवृतश्चरामि. दैट लास्ट लाइन यू टेक नोटिस ऑफ दैट. विषंगमानो अविवृतश्चरामि ही सेज आई एम मूविंग अराउंड अविवृतश्चरामि आई विल नॉट रिवील माय आइडेंटिटी टू एनीबॉडी ही सेड. या सामाम स्मृतिर मृगदेहे भी वीरा I was in that body of the deer. Then what happened? Krishnarchana Prabhavo no Jahari. Because of my sadhana to my relationship with Krishna, Krishnarchana Prabhavo, Prabhavam of Krishnarchana. Because of that Krishnarchana, what I have done at that time, no Jahari, that even though aham janasangal asango, I am in the middle of so many people, but I am not in any of them. They are not in me. I am in the middle of so many people, but they are not inside me. Janasangat asangam. And then, vishangamano avivrudascharami. I am wandering around in this state of consciousness. In this state of consciousness. Not touched by anyone, right? So, not revealing myself, I am not a sannyasi, I am not a grihastha, I am not a brahmachari, and I don't belong to any category. Yeah. And at the same time, he had a sacred thread on his body. His father has put it on when he was small, right? And that sacred thread is all dirty with soil. And because he was looking after the field for his brothers, things like that, right? So even though the thread was looking like that, inside the knowledge is burning. And nobody could recognize him. Ultimately, till Rahugana found out who Jadabharata is, nobody knew him, who he was. He was an emperor Bharata, wasn't it? And he is wandering around like this. Avivrudascharami, that's the word he has used there. Avivrudascharami, right? Because this spiritual life is a great treasure. Yeah? And it's a great treasure it is, spiritual life, once you get into it. So, whoever has chosen spiritual life seriously, right, and it's like a divine lottery, you can say. Spiritual life is like a divine lottery, right? And once it is opened up, you are entered into it, then you are in a different plane altogether. Inside, I'm saying, that you have become free from this world. Connection with the world is broken practically because of realization inside. Realization inside. So, so that is, that some Krishna has to open up inside us. Krishna has to do that for us. That taking us out of this prakriti and giving us that, opening up that inside world. Maharshi's case also, they used to say this, right? He says about Arunachaleshwara, that mountain there, he considers that as Arunachala. So Arunachalam, he says that he has shown the greatest mercy to me in this way. A big thing what I would have to search for a long, long time, he gave it to me very easily, without too much struggle, right? Whether I have understood or not, it's not a issue, he said. In the same way, you see, Maharshi is saying this. He is saying that when he came to Tirunamalai from home, and when he realized that shanti what he was getting inside from living there, he started experiencing it within, and he felt that no connection with the world is gone. Connection with the world is gone. Right? And that's a big relief in life. When the connection of the world is broken, yeah? So, it may be fearful to many people when we say that connection with the world is gone. Even though the world is giving so much problem, still you don't want to break the connection with the world. That's the way it is, isn't it? So, this is everyone's situation. Maharshi says that this was the greatest mercy what Arunachaleshwara has shown to me, he said. That he put me here in such a state that my connection with the world is gone, right? So, in the same way, whether we have, you are understanding everything, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, that's not a big issue, right? Because you heard Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam for so many years, and we won't know how much we have taken it on board. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, what we have heard over so many years, how far has it gone inside? How much it has affected us? We also don't know, to tell you the truth, right? But even though Chitta Shuddhi has not happened to the extent what we would like to, the labham, the profit is the salsangam from that. That satisfaction inside, I have heard Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam for so many years, and that gives you a feeling that there is something inside that Krishna has kept me going in this, in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, right? So, what was the reason that Bhagavad Gita has got so many commentaries? Why did that happen? Because everyone has different opinion about Bhagavad Gita, right? People have different opinion about Bhagavad Gita. Many people will say Bhagavad Gita is a book of devotion. Acharya Swamiji flatly refuses it. It is jnanam and karmam. That's what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita in that way. So, according to your Shraddha, according to one's Shraddha, according to that, yadrashi yadrashi Shraddha, tadrashi tadrashi Siddhi. That depending on our Shraddha, to that extent, the Bhagavad Gita will go inside and change a person. That totally depends on Shraddha. That's why this chapter, 17th chapter, the reason why Krishna brought out Shraddha at this stage is to, because it's the end of Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Very end of, last of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying this Shastram, nature of the Shastram is like that. It completely depends on your Shraddha. Krishna will discuss Shraddha, what it is later on. But to what extent Bhagavad Gita has impacted on you, that depends totally on your Shraddha. Nothing else, right? So, so Salsangam, hearing Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, all these things, is that the Shraddha Shakti has to become stronger in a person, right? And the summary of all that is what Krishna is saying, Tasmad Yogi Bhava Arjuna. Arjuna becomes a yogi, right? Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhava Arjuna. Another place Krishna says. At least in 4 or 5 places Krishna said this. Tasmad Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukto Bhava Arjuna. Arjuna, you become a yogi, he says, right? So, when this realization comes, that Bhagavad Gita is helping you for developing that yoga state inside, that state of steadiness, shanti inside. Yoga, let the symptom of that yoga, one more definition Krishna gave about that. What yoga means? Dukkha samyoga viyogam, he said. In another place, he has said that, isn't it? So, dukkha samyoga viyogam. And yogam, he says, yogam is like that. Yogam is like a scissors. What it does is, connection with the dukkham is cut off. That's what yogam does. Tamvidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. Mentioned this earlier, right? So, that dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. If you are able to break away from dukkham, from distress, with the help of yogam, tamvidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. This samyoga viyogam is causing the problem. In life, different things happen, isn't it? Sometimes, when we get family, friends together, feel happy. When they all leave you, you feel unhappy. Samyogam, viyogam. And Krishna says, if you can become free from that problem, dukkha samyoga viyogam, that is called yogam. Yoga samyidam, right? So, completely cutting off this connection with dukkham, right? Dukkham will be there, problems will be there, and issues will be there, but this contact what we have inside with the problem has gone. Assumed contact it is. It's not real. Because it's coming from the ahangaram. If the ahangaram is strong inside, material life will be big, very strong inside. depending on the ahankaram, right? So that assumed contact, which is not real, there is no, see, from real state, if you look, Antaryami's position, if you look at it, he has nothing to do with all your problems in the world. And he is inside controlling everything. We, in our foolishness, because of this ahankaram inside, take everything very seriously and gets affected by everything, every little thing. Oh, this didn't get it right, that didn't get it right. All others' problems also, you add it on, your own problems. And so Krishna is saying that this connection with this samyoga viyogam, if that's broken, dukkha samyidam, samyoga viyogam, tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. If we can break that connection, that state is called yogam, yoga state, right? So Krishna mentioned that na kinchid abhi chintayet, at that time thoughts also stops away, right? So we have understood that technique, what Krishna is saying there, right? And still we will remain in the samsara, material existence, right? And we will try to do whatever we can. And if you have that approach, then unnecessary things will not come to your mind to get involved and entangled in this world, right? So what is the process of not to allow thoughts to come in? And that's why he's saying here, for that purpose, that thought timings of the thoughts that's coming inside, we should direct it towards meditation, japam, salsangam in that way. As much as possible, instead of allowing the mind to wander in the world and take all the worldly problems inside, as much as possible, bring the mind and direct it towards japam, dhyanam, salsangam in this way, right? And bheshajam, and that is a medicine, right? So basically, Vedantam is a medicine for this problem. Vedam is the shastram for adhyatma vidya, the spiritual knowledge, right? And this medicine will be very effective for that. And daily one has to take it. So that is why you will see that verse in the Bhajagovindam prayers. Bhagavad Gita kinchit atida Ganga jalamabhi kaniga pita, he says. So Ganga jalam, what that verse is saying is, don't take the literal meaning of that. When Ajahn Swami wrote that, what he meant was, Bhagavad Gita kinchit atida Ganga jalamabhi kaniga pita. In other words, Ganga jalam is considered to be knowledge. Ganga is knowledge, always. Yamuna is bhakti. This is well known. Ganga river represents knowledge. Yamuna river represents bhakti. Yeah. So, little by little, a few drops going inside of Ganga river means that knowledge is building up inside. Sakritabhi yena murari samarcha. Everything to please Krishna. Sakritabhi yevi murari samarcha. And if you are able to do that completely, at least to some extent, you have experienced that samadhi state. Kriyade yena yamena charcha. Yamena na charcha. There is no more further discussion with Yamadharma Raja. Na charcha, he says. What Krishna is saying that the, if at least to some extent, if our spiritual life is organized in this way, japam, dhyanam, salsangam, puja, bhagavadam, bhagavad gita, in this way, if you are able to do that, he says, to some extent, sakritabhi yena murari samarcha, all this is pleasing to Krishna. If it is done, then kriyate yena yame na charcha, there will be no more discussion. That means Yamadharma Raja won't take your file to discuss what should be done with you. Ye na charcha, there is no discussion at all about your case, right? Means Yama won't come to you. In other words, what does Yama means? Yama means next birth, another body. That's what is Yama. Rama represents that. Another body after leaving this body, right? And that distress won't come anymore. And so continuously going through Bhagavad Gita and constantly absorbing in Bhagavad Gita means Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, all these things, You have to bring this Bhagavad Gita inside us, inside the heart, right? And it is a topic which is about Swarupam, our identity, Brahma Vidya, and the Shastram that is favorable for that is Yoga Shastram. Yeah? The Yoga Shastram is the one that is favorable for that. So, Javam, Dhyanam, Puja, Pranayamam, controlling the diet, sleep, and controlling the senses, all these things will come in this chapter. This chapter is basically about everything, the 17th chapter. Why is that? Because everything is Yoga Shastram. Yoga Shastram, right? You can see in our society also, normal society, right? They have also understood this in a different way. That's why they will talk to you about diet, controlling the diet. Similarly, going to gym, controlling the state of the body. So all these things, and some people you can see they take interest in yoga, is it not? They think that to keep themselves fit in this world. Apart from diet, apart from going to the gym, they also go to yoga. They feel that there is something between that, right? So, unfortunate thing is, the sad thing is, in all this is, they do all these things, but they don't get connected with Brahma Vidya. That's the problem. Right? I'm talking about people outside, karmis, as we call them. Karmis also, lot of them are good at these things. They control their body, they keep their body very fit through gym, through yoga, through diet, through proper sleep, holidays, things like that. They do all sorts of things to keep themselves fit. Is it not? Don't they do that? They all do that. Lot of people do that. But they take yoga also into it. Unfortunate thing is, ultimately, what is missing them there is that it doesn't get connected with Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is not the goal. It's all keeping the body in a good shape, body in a good state, right? So that is a problem in the world outside. No connection with Krishna. No connection with Krishna. But if you do all that, the body will be in a good state. You will feel happy with the body, right? But it is not connected with Brahma Vidya. You see, in every chapter ended like that, isn't it? Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastra. So unless Yoga Shastram is connected with Brahma Vidya, it is waste of time. It is waste of time. So, Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastra, we discussed that before, right? So, I am Yoga, Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram. These two things should come together. Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastram should come together. Then you have got, Krishna says, the greatest treasure in life, right? And you have got the medicine, what is required for this life, and you are properly educated then. Krishna says, a person who has got Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastram, he is the one actually to say he is educated. He is the one who has got educated. He has got Bhagavad Gita in his hands, Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Vidya, Yoga Shastram, and that is even if that is more than enough, Krishna says. You don't need anything else. Remember, Bhagavad Gita is nothing but Kathopanishad. Kathopanishad's another commentary-like thing is Bhagavad Gita, right? And Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastra, as he says in the end of chapters, right? So, Edam Viryam Yenam Yoga Vidhim Cha Krishnam. This Vidya, Brahma Vidya, is also Yoga Vidhi. So you can say like this, in the spiritual path, Adhyatma Sampradayam, or spiritual school, you can say like this, everything is different than in the mundane schools. And there is some streaming in spiritual life also. There is a lot of fruits that you will get in your spiritual path in return, right? So, every time when a great spiritual personality comes to this world, through him, a great upasana process also will come to this world. When great personalities come here, and through them, some new process of spiritual upasana process also will come through them, right? So, that is how these yoga margams are different. For example, if you look for today in this world also, different gurus, big, I'm talking about the great personalities who are having thousands of followers and all that, if you observe that, they will see that they all have their own individual process, what they will give it to their followers. Ravi Shankar will give you his method, art of living. Krishna Consciousness Movement, chanting the holy name. Similarly, Amritananda Mayi has her own meditation processes and things like that, right? But the difficulty is that the end result is the same in all this, Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is the end result of all that, right? But often what happens is, the Yoga Margam will be there, but Brahma Vidya won't be there. In all institutions, if you look, you will notice this. If you ask them, what is the goal? They will say something what they read in the book. One will say one way, another one will say another way, another person will another way, he says. So, you go to all these different spiritual institutions and ask them, what is your end goal? Everybody will give you different answers. Yeah, that is not true, because ultimately, if it is like that, the self-realization has no meaning, in the sense that Brahma Vidya, when it is there as a goal, that these different sampradayams, what has come into this world, different paramparas and sampradayams and all that, that is only a measuring rod to see whether your path is working for reaching that goal of Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya, right? So, say for example, a big spiritual institution, take for example, right? A lots of members in that institution, right? And the way to look at that institution is not to think that, oh, thousands of people are going there, so it should be perfect. I will also join the club. This is mundanity. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is that you measure them. Is there yogam there, or upasana margam is there? Is the upasana strong, or the Brahma Vidya is strong there? If Brahma Vidya not there, Yoga Shastram is not there, that institution is not worthwhile going after that. It won't help you very much. That is a measuring tape or measuring instrument to look at an institution. Is there Brahma Vidya there? Is there Yoga Shastram there? That is how you should look at institutions and then decide about that. So, sometimes what happens is, when you join like that, an institution, initially, a little bit experience you will get in spiritual life, right? And it will give you some support and some feeling of spirituality at that time, right? So, but you have to keep looking further, deeper into that, and you have to see whether is this Bhagavad Gita is working there, or Bhagavadam is working there in practice, in real life, has it having impact on the people? That is the way to look at it. If it is not having any impact on the people, there may be loads of millions of copies of Bhagavad Gita book there, and Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam books there, but it is not changing that people in there, in that institution, right, then it is not helpful at all. If it is not happening that, change that is to happen, right? So, Shruti, Vedam says that Brahma Vidya is there or not, that is how you know whether the Brahma Vidya is there or not, right? So, if Brahma Vidya is not there, that's one side is gone, is lost, right? Sometimes, Shastram will be there, but Yogam won't be there. Remember Krishna said that, isn't it? Evam parambara praptam, imam rajarshayo vidu, Sakale nehamhata, yogo nashta parandava, he said. That's how yogam gets lost, right? So, this yogam, yoga margam, will only happen when you get closer to your spiritual personality in the moment, or in the institution, you can say. Only when you get closer to that personality, right? And it is like a breathing. It's like a breathing, right? So, there are two things to it. One is the Vaidika Sampradayam, and the other one is the Upanishad Sampradayam. So, you will see in great personalities these things together. Vaidika Sampradayam and the Upanishad Sampradayam, right? So, what that means is, Upanishad is the knowledge, and the other one is the bhakti. Is the bhakti. Like, for example, Maharshi's case, if you look at it, he had bhakti towards Arunachaleshwara, to Lord Shiva, right? And self-inquiry about realization, self-realization, all those things is his upasana. That is his upasana, right? Everything is there inside. Look at this way. There are many great personalities who are completely detached from this world, and they got all this wealth, vairagyam, jnanam, bhakti, vivekam, all kinds of things, right? So when somebody has that, through him others get benefited, and that's called the sampradayam. Sampradayam means that. Yeah. So so when Krishna said this, sulpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahato bhayat, right? That after talking about big, big things, Krishna is saying this, that Guru says to the disciple, don't get frightened, he said, that chant this holy name and take shelter of this holy name, right? Do meditation, nothing to be worried. In this way, he gives you a shelter and make you feel that there is a solution to the problem. There is a way out. And when he hears that, he feels the greatest relief after going through all the other things, right? So, and that sampradayam, what comes like that, what is called a sampradayam, sometimes you call it a shastravidhi. Another name for this sampradayam is shastravidhi. And that is how this chapter begins. This 17th chapter begins with that. Shastra Vidhi or Sampradaya system, right? In other words, how to understand the Shastram and the knowledge what Shastram has given, how to accept that, and the Upasana process, what Shastram has spoken, all these things are part of that. You will see this in the Kapilopadesham saying this, if you look at that, right? Jnanam, Vijnanam, Rahasyam, Angam. Four things he has spoken there, Bhagavatam. If you look at the Bhagavatam, you will see this mentioned there. Third canto. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti, jnanam is nothing but Upanishad. Upanishad is jnanam. Vijnanam is the anubhuti, realization coming from that. Yeah. So, Tair 36 verse. Tair darshaniya vayavai udaram വിലാസഹാസേക്ഷിത വാമസൂക്തേ ഹൃദാൽപ്പനോ ഹൃദ പ്രാണാംശ ഭക്തി അനിച്ഛതോ മേ ഗതി അന്യം പ്രയുക്തേ. ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്, സോറി, ശ്രീ ഭഗവാൻ വാച, കപിലവാസ് ഈസ് സെയിങ് ടു ദേവഹൂതി ദേവി ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ജ്ഞാനം വിജ്ഞാനം രഹസ്യം അംഗം ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ആർ റിക്വയർഡ് ഇൻ ദി ഇറ്റ്സ് എ കോമ്പിനേഷൻ ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ദാറ്റ് മേക്സ് എ സ്പിരിച്വൽ ലൈഫ് സക്സസ്. ഫോർ എക്സാമ്പിൾ, വെൻ ഹി സേസ് ജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് വെരി സിംപിൾ, ജ്ഞാനം മീൻസ് ഉപനിഷത്ത് നോളജ്, വിജ്ഞാനം മീൻസ് അനുഭൂതി, ദി റിയലൈസേഷൻ വാട്സ് ഹാപ്പനിങ്, രഹസ്യം വാട്ട് ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട്, റൈറ്റ്? And everybody is different. All of us are different. Is it not? That is a rahasya. Rahasya means that it is not common to all. Jnanam vijnanam is common. Rahasya is not common, right? Like any mantram, for example, there is a process. Some people will chant Hare Krishna. Some others will chant Panjaksharam. Some people will chant Ashtaksharam. Some people will chant Shodashaksharam. Different mantras, whoever that has been given to them by their guru, right? So, this mantram, yoga, all these things should be accepted in a sampradaya system. That is a yoga rahasyam. What rahasyam is that? It should be accepted in a sampradaya system, right? Angam means, in order all these things to have its effect on us, when you're doing all these things, in order to have its effect on us, in order that to happen, we have to have, the person who is doing that, performing sadhana, he has to have vairagyam, he has to have vivekam in him, right? And mumukshatvam, and shanti, all these things, he should be desiring for that. If you have all these things together, it will work. Otherwise it won't work. Otherwise it will be a long haul. You'll be keep on doing one thing, then you'll think it is not working, let me try the other one. And if that's not working, you'll try. That's not how, there's a whole science behind that. What Krishna is saying that, Kapila Maharshi is saying to Devahuti, that jnanam, vijnanam, rahasyam, angam, he says, four things. Jnanam is Upanishad's knowledge. Vijnanam is the realization of that. They are common to everybody. Everybody has to have that at the end. But rahasyam means the process, upasana sampradaya, upasana process, what you follow, that should be received in a sampradaya system. And then the yogam is what he is talking about. That angam is what he is saying there, that if it has to have its effect on us, then vairagyam, vivekam should be there, mumukshatvam should be there. More than above, wants to realize the truth, the desire for realizing the truth. And what is required for that? Following the dharma, sadajara sambhati, right? If you have all these things, then you will say angam is there, right? So, and if these all things comes together, then the result also will happen, right? So that is why Bhagavadam began with that understanding. Nigama kalpataror galidam bhalam shukamukhad amrutadrava samyudam pipada Bhagavadam Rasamalayam Mukuraho Rasiya Bhuvi Bhavugaha. That is say what he is saying there is that Vedam is like a tree, Kalpavruksham, Kalpadaror Galidam Bhalam. And its fruits, it is from that you get all these fruits. What is that? You have to take the essence of all that things, and essence, when you take the essence, it has got rasam, taste for that, right? What you want is shanti, anandam, and yogam. So Krishna is saying here to Arjuna that be situated in the platform of yoga state. And that situation is what is called dhyanam, meditation. Whole time you are on the meditation, right? And he said that dukkha samyoga viyogam yogam. Whatever distress comes in life, no connection with it at all. Whatever problems comes in life, no connection with that at all. Samsparsham. Yeah? Dukkasam. And samsparsham. Samsparsham means that there is a thing called asparsha yogam. Asparsha yoga means that you are in the middle of that, you are not touched by that. That's called asparsha yogam. And this Asparsha Yogam, what he is talking about here, that touchless state. You are not touched by that, right? You are in the middle of everything, but you are not touched by anything. And that is yoga. So, Atma Samskritam Manam Hitva Najik Najabhava Abhichintayev. Able to establish the mind in the self, because then your existence is complete. When the mind is separated from the Antaryami and it is creating all the problems of this world, this state won't come till the mind goes back to the Antaryami. So that is the limitations of the body, and we will stop here today and we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.